I've kind of shuffled around on my desk along with a number of other things that had been there for some time, working on three or four different projects at once. Back in my engineering days, I used to be able to keep 10 or 12 jobs in the air at one time, but with time, those have decreased in number. And now I'm fortunate to be able to handle one at a time. But the Lord, I believe, answered my prayer when I opened that notebook. And there I found two copies of editorials that I had written in the Advocate back years ago when I was editor for a few years. And so our, if I can get it to work, well, down to my aunt to call on you. I don't know just where I thought I knew what to do, but I don't seem to. It don't seem to be going. Dan, can you tell me what to do or how? Where? Oh, okay, it hadn't come up on my screen. All right, wait. Well, the one I wanted isn't there. The title that of the editorial that I wanted to use this evening was entitled, Can We Turn the Tide? And the tide that was in my mind at that time and this evening and during the last few days as I prepared was the conditions in the world today. And I felt at that time, and I do not pretend that these are prophecies or scripture, but I do know that I was moved upon by the Lord's Spirit to write these this particular editorial I'm using tonight, as well as many others. They're on the subject pertaining to the ripening of the immorality and degradation that now, then, in 1965, this was in the November Advocate of 1965 that I'll be quoting from. And we thought then that things couldn't get any more immoral than they were then. And yet, as we have struggled through the last 46 years and seen the fall righteously of the nations of the earth, and with special note of our own, this nation and the world, and the condition that prevailed in Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah's day that brought the everlasting condemnation of those days. There's a great movement today, and this was written, remember, in 1965, to tear down the barriers between clean, wholesome living and the unrestrained lewdness that is rapidly overcoming morality, like an uncontrollable cancerous growth. Sorry, this is one of the problems I had for getting all of the type sizes the right size. And I hope you can read it. Our newsstands display and peddle to all ages, from the cradle to the grave, filth, trash, and degradation in open, unabashed fashion, under the guise of free press or art. Materials that a decade ago, and that was in 1965, were seldom even smuggled from under the counter. And those of you that lived in those days probably are aware that much of this trash was obtained by school-age children from under the counter that shouldn't even been there in the first place. The country looks at the statistics of our modern crime laboratories with horror, and they're a whole lot higher now than they were there. Of the fact that 43% of our major crimes are being committed by young boys and girls 18 years and under. But it is unmoved by the fact that the sophisticated adult society of today, and of today, which includes everyone over 21 that wants in and is possessed by the urge to live, and by living, they use it as a nice word for degradation. There are a few theaters that do not run so-called adult-only movies, possessed, which do not descend, who do not show decent moral persons, that no decent moral person would attend. And that is even more so today. There are many streets in Kansas City, not far from where I used to work, down at 18th and Grand, across from the old Star Building, in the building that is now the Star Building, was then the Grand Avenue Bank Building, which the company I worked for kept out all out. The higher-ups in the company owned the Grand Avenue Bank Building. And most of those streets I wouldn't even drive down today, much less walk. They are just not of the type that I have any desire, but am especially conscious of as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our newsstands and theaters, inside and drive-in, are rapidly becoming turned into ultra-modern and efficient crime schools. Now, back in 65, drive-in theaters were the rage. For a while, they began to be done away with, but they're coming back again. The one down on Kentucky and 291 has started up again. They're not showing good movies by the billboard, and I wouldn't be caught in one of them. Then I'm going to skip down a ways. It is therefore very easy to say it's all because this generation of teenager delinquents, and forget They're being taught by the example of the exploited, degenerate escapades of past generations from Adam to the present. They say both hard, what I've left out there, as well as easy, hard-earned, as well as easy money, to the great moguls of sectum and crime, to learn the wisdom of Sodom and Gomorrah. But for those individuals who are strangers in this world, as with Abraham, who sought all his days for a city whose builder and maker was God, there is hope. To steer and navigate this course to safety beyond is one of the greatest tasks we have, and we cannot accomplish it alone. It will be that full, constant, concerned, and united effort of every interested soul we can reach or contact. Even then, though our numbers may be great, I left out an H, great failure will be inevitable if we had to rely only on human wisdom and ingenuity. We shall need all the aid we can beg from a merciful God. And this is still a part of that editorial. Have you ever stood in the deep surf of an incoming tide and watched as a large breaker forms, rises over your head, see the white cap topple over you, sweep you off your feet, helpless and exhausted? I have, but only once. And I hope I am never that foolish again. The tide of satanic power building in the world today, and this was written 46 years ago, again, I remind you, is on its way now. You and I, if our eyes are open and able to perceive what is going on about us, using the world, should be able to recognize that every large, and I've added the words humongous because it's getting to that point now, humongous, greater than anything the world has ever known, breaker of tidal wave proportions forming up in every phase of life today. But this breaker will break in pieces and destroy the very soul of all who try to stand, to withstand it by their own strength. We will never, and no bad man was ever born into this world except Jesus Christ, who can withstand alone the powers of Satan. Solomon in all his wisdom failed. David in all his strength as a youth and as a king failed. They both had to rely, as you and I must rely, upon the power and the Spirit of the Lord to guide us in this day. My prayer for each of us is that we will put aside every unnecessary activity in our lives, everything that detracts from our full attention upon the things of God asks upon things of God the things that God asks of us all. Our complete abstinence from all sin, not even the little bitty ones, because God says that he cannot look upon the least degree of sin with any degree of sanction, but it brings its judgment upon each of us. It's only through Christ and his great love for his brothers in this life that brings about that reconciliation of our sins, and that great God to whom and before whom we must stand in that last day of final judgment, to be judged according to his law and his standards, not ours. And going on, and an unfaltering devotion and faith to his ability and willingness to protect us from all harm and danger. If we constantly look to him in faith, believing, he will give us eternal life. And that is the most precious thing that God and his Son ever conceived in their own minds for you and me. A way in which to restore us from our carnal way of life, and in this carnal earth, to an everlasting eternal life with him and his Son. And this hasn't been a long sermon. I didn't intend for it to be. But I do want to say in closing, and these are my words added after the reciting of the editorial. In closing, I want to read to you an event that occurred way back in the early 1800s during the great evangelizing and proselyzing that caused Joseph Smith to seek the Lord to know which church was right, that he might join the right one. It did not occur in his locality, that is, this event did not, but in Plymouth, Massachusetts, in one of the renowned churches of the times, and with a renowned pastor of its day. Where did it go? Well, good thing I have a backup. And this was taken from the Sunshine magazine that used to be published years ago. I don't know whether it's still around today or not. If it is, it has changed its theme a great deal in order to be able to get on the press. But back in those days, Velma and I, even when we were out in Utah and New Mexico, used to enjoy the articles that were in that magazine, because they were well thought out and well searched for, as this one does. And it's titled, Whom Wilt Thou Worship? The story goes that one Sunday, Henry Ward Beecher, now Beecher was one of the most affluent speakers, ministers, pastors of his day. And that's who is being spoken of. Had to be absent from Plymouth Church. And his asked his brother to preach for him. The church auditorium was crowded, but when it was evident that the eloquent Henry Ward Beecher was not going to appear, many started to leave the church. The brother of the great man was not disturbed. Calling for silence, he said, "All those who came this morning to worship Henry Ward Beecher may leave now. The rest will remain and worship God." No one left after that. I hope that none of us will leave the gospel of Jesus Christ either. For even a moment. And Henry Ward Beecher was born in 1830, just a few years after Joseph, but he outlived him to 1887. 74 years, that was a long, long time back then. That was even more than 100 years that the aunt of many of us, great aunt of some, Mildred Denham, celebrated her 100th birthday yesterday. Henry Ward Beecher, for his time, outlived that time, which is a great period for us. And I'm not extolling Henry Ward Beecher, although he had very many great, wonderful things to say. He was not, far as known, ever made aware of the Book of Mormon or the Restored Gospel of Christ. But it was evident that he was a believer in the gospel. But it also appears that his brother, though less renowned, if renowned at all, had a greater understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we each seek to emulate not Henry Ward Beecher or his brother, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.